Okay, we're starting the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara has exceptions to the rule here. There are three exceptions where there is a problem with the instance, the Kohen doing the Avodah. But nevertheless, there's no Chiv Mita Bidei Shemayim, there's just an Azhara. Those three are Arel, Onain, and Yoshev. A Kohen Arel, Kohen who doesn't have a Brit Milah because his brothers had passed away because of the Brit Milah. Or an Onain, someone who had a mate that they are chayav klita belalav, pass away, and the person has yet to be buried on that day. And Yoshev, if you do the avodah sitting down, all of those are azhara, are belav, and not be deb deshemayim. So Gemara is going to determine, look for each one of them, how is that? So harel minolan. Where we know that a harel is bazara. Amar Rav Chisa, davazer mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu, adjva yechezka ben buzi velamadnu. We did not learn this from the Torah, but rather from Yechezkel. Kol ben nechar arel leiv, varel basar lo yovo el mikdashi. So here you go. Anybody who is a ben nechar arel leiv, varel basar. So arel leiv is obviously a person who is a mumar, leovodat kochavim. And then arel basar, if someone doesn't have a mila, lo yovo el mikdashi. So there's a lav that you may not come to Megdashi. As you see, Rashi points out, the top Rashi on Pei Dalet. He says, Lo yavo, v'haynu azhara midivrei kabbalah, bi'alma v'lo loki Allah. When the Mishnah says it's an azhara, it's not an azhara min Torah, it's an azhara midivrei kabbalah, and you don't get malchus for it. It's an interesting terminology of azhara that's used here. We don't usually have an azhara from the divrei nevi'im. So this is a azhara midivrei nevi'im that's included here in the list. It's very interesting. It's a lav midivrei kabbalah. That's what Rashi calls it. All right, onein minalon. Where is an onein from? Dichtiv u'mina mikdash lo yitzei v'yiloch halel et mikdash elukav. Right. So this is by the Kohen Agadol. The Kohen Agadol is not allowed to leave the mikdash. If he's an onein, he's not allowed to leave the mikdash. Because therefore he will be mechalel. Ha'acher, shelo yatza, anybody else besides the Kohen Gadol who doesn't go out when they're onein, chilel, then they profane the avodah. So amar le Rava de Rava, v'nelev chilul chilul mi truma. That's what we've done until now. Every time we had the word chilul, we learned a gzerah shava to truma. We had a gzerah shava, chilul chilul to truma. Truma, a Kohen Tameh that eats truma, is chaya mita b'day shamayim. So why don't you say the same thing over here? So the Gemara says, "Mala halam b'mita, v'kan b'mita." Just like by truma, it's mita. Also, by yobi b'mita. So the Gemara says, "Mi kitiv baby gufei." So who says that the chilul was written in the actual restriction? Michlolo kaati abadavar about michlal. Something that comes out of an inference. Chodavar shaba minachlal ain't no dani no topic zera shaba. Anything comes from an inference. You cannot use a gzerah shava by it. So over here it says, Minam Bigdesh lo yitzei, v'lo yechalel et mikdash elukav. That is not referring to someone who does stay, an onein that does stay. That's referring to a Kohen Gadol, who's an onein, who must stay and not be mechalel the mikdash by leaving. But someone else who doesn't leave, meaning he's not the Kohen Gadol, then he is mechalel. But the word chilul is not written explicitly in the pasuk with regards to the restriction of someone else. That's only a derivative, or we learn that as an inference from what is stated by the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, since it comes from an inference, we aren't dan a gzera shava in an inference. So you can't dan a gzera shava of chilul. Tosus over here doesn't have a strong answer for it, but asks about some of the others that we brought up before, that all of them, well, many of them seem to be inferences, and yet we still darshin chilul chilul mitchuma. So he says we have to be mechalek, why this is more of a davar abam min haklal more than the others are. So somehow we have to come up with some sort of chiluk between this case here, what we call the inference here, is different than the inference in other places. You might determine that here it's from a Kohen Gadol to a Kohen, meaning there are two different persons here where the inference is coming from, as opposed to the other places where the inference is, don't go into the Mikdash drunk. Right? And because if you do go into the, meaning that if you do go into the Mikdash, you will drunk. You shouldn't drink wine so that you do not die. Well, that means if you do drink wine, you will die. But that inference is about the same individual. I mean, that individual is restricted from drinking wine. And if he does go in while he's drunk, he's chayav mita. Over here, we're dealing with a Kohen Gadol versus a Kohen Hejot. So I think that might be the differentiating factor here, why here the inference is something we don't learn chilul chilul from, whereas other inferences we are willing to, because there in the other cases the inference is dealing with the same individual. Over here, it's two different parties that we're discussing. All right, Yoshev Minalon, the last of these three, Yoshev, where do we know it from? Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kra. Kivo b'char Hashem Elokecha mikol shvatecha la'mod lisharet. Right, so Hashem chose this Shevet, the Kohanim, the Levim, to go, la'mod, to stand, ulisharet, and to serve. La'amida b'charti v'lo yeshiva. I picked them, I chose them to stand, to do the avodah b'amida, and not to do it b'yeshiva. Right, now, Balmum, this is next in the Mishnah. These are the items that we have in Machloket. These are all listed at the end of the Mishnah. Balmum. Balmum, a Kohen Balmum that does avodah, Rabbi Omer b'mita. Rabbi says he gets mita b'dei shemayim, v'chamim ramim b'azhara. That's only a lav. So my time is the Rabbi. What's Rabbi's reasoning? Dichtiv. Ach el aparochet lo yavo. So it says that you may not come el aparochet lo yavo. Someone who is a Balmum, Balmum, again, this is a this week's Parsha of Emor. We had almost every day, every daf today, this week we had a quote from Emor. Here's another quote from Emor. Ach el aparochet lo yavo. He's not allowed. Someone who has a Balmum may not approach to do the avodah. We all have chilul mei truma. So we learn out chilul from truma. Malahalan bimita avkan bimita. Just like over there, it's mita de bishmaim. Also over here, it's mita bidei shemayim. So meilef chilul mei notar. So why don't we learn, like we ask in every other case, why don't we learn out chilul from notar? So Gemara says, Malahalan bikareit avkan bikareit. Just like by notar, the din is kareit. So also over here, the din will be kareit. Pstavar mitruva truma havele de meilof. It makes more sense to learn out from Truma. Shekain, the common denominator between them is Psul Haguf. They're both dealing with the problem of Psul Haguf. Over here, the Baal Mum, the coin is a Baal Mum. And by the case of Truma, the coin is a Tameh. So therefore, the Psul, the problems with the Guf, notar, the problems with the object itself, the meat. Right? So better to learn Mitsul Haguf, Mipsul Haguf. So Gemara says, Adar Abim Notar Abalei the Melech. Makes more sense to learn out of Notar. Shekain Kodesh, Pnim, Pigo, Venotar. So, we have all these items. What are these items that are common between Truma and the case of Baal Mum? Number one is that Kodesh. They both deal with issues of Kodesh. I mean, as opposed to Truma, which deals with a different status of Kedusha, we're talking about Notar, and we're talking about a Baal Mum. We're talking about the Kadosh Kedusha, Pnim, that deals with the Migdash. These are items in the Migdash, whereas Truma is an item in the Gvulin. Pigol, Vinotar. And Pigol Notar applied to them. I mean, the Kohen can be Mifagel and make something into Notar. And same thing with the object itself, the meat itself, the Kodshim themselves can become Pigol and Notar, which is not true of Chuma. So those are common between them, so it makes more sense compared to Notar. Ela mitame shishimesh gamar. We learn it out from mitame. They parallel. Baal Mum, who is Mishamesh, will consider it like mitame shishimesh. Why? Gamar, because there's a lot of common denominators between a Baal Mum and Tamei Shishimesh. What's that? Pasula Guf, Mipsula Guf. Number one, they both have, or are dealing with the issue of a problem with the Kohen, not a problem with the object. Kodesh, right? They're both in the Makom of Kedusha, or they're in the, dealing with Kodesh items. Pnim, they're inside the Mikdash, not in the Gvulim. Pigol, Vinotar. So therefore, we learn out from them. So we learn that out from Mikodesh, Pnim, Pigol, Vinotar. So since we compare it now to Atamei Shishimesh, just like Atamei Shishimesh gets a Chiyuv Mita, so too the Baal Mum, who's Mishamesh, will also get a Chiyuv Mita. Alright, now, Tosos points out that over here, it's interesting, is if you look at the Tosos, Alma Tamei Shishimesh, Tema, David Amelef, Minotar, Tvei, makes more sense than for Nofar, Mishum Techilu Diyochid, Michilu Diyochid. The word chilul that's used over here by the Baal Mum and the word chilul that is used by Notar are both written in the singular form. And before in yesterday's Gemara, we saw that's the trump card where they had nothing else. It's chilul derabim. That was the trump card that they always pulled out to say that they made a gzer shav, which was better, chilul derabim to chilul derabim. So over here, you should say chilul deyochid to chilul deyochid. So Tosfos in the end says, v'yishlomar da'ocha psula guf da'avodah mipsula guf avodah adif. We have an overriding factor here, which is that Psula Guf of Avoda, from Psula Guf of Avoda, makes it much more parallel, and therefore we would override the Chilul Diyachid and Chilul Diyachid when we find something that's so common between them. They're both Kohanim with a problem that doesn't let them do Avoda. One is Tuma, one's Baal Mum. So they're so close, they're almost relatives in that sense. They're cousins. Since they're like cousins, we would rather learn one from the other than learn the Chilul of Yachid and Chilul Diyachid of Notar. Right now, Rabbono and Amar Krabbo v'lo b'Baal Mum. The pasuk says by Shuma, made to bo ki chalu. It's a bo velo bal mum. So Rashi asks on that, how do you know bum velo bal mum? How do you know not to exclude other things from it? How can we compare truma to so many things? How do you know what to exclude and what to include? So Rashi goes, mistavra bal mum hu dekame ma'it. So over there, when we're talking about the other items that we compare to Truma, they're all dealing with the psul of the problem of Truma Takohen. Kohen is Tameh, and therefore there's a problem. Truma, the case by Truma, is also a problem of Truma, which is a Kohen Tameh. Bamum doesn't exist by Truma. There's no such case. So therefore, the bow comes to exclude that. So now, he's it be mila if he intentionally gets benefit from hektesh. Rabbi Omer mita v'chamim umim bazarat. Rabbi says tachiyav mita b'deishemayim. The chamim say it's a nazarat only is a lav. now, why? So now, what is the limud here? So Rabbi says, my time at the Rabbi Omer bow gamar chet mi Truma. He learns that gzera shava of chet. Chait from Truma, because by Mi'ilo it says v'chata bishkaga, and by Truma it says lo yisa olav chait, right? Umeitubo ki yichaluluhu. So therefore, the lo yisa olav chait. So the word chait have gzera shava. So malahalam b'mita, just like by Truma it's achiv mita b'shmaim avkan b'mita. For Rabbanan Amrei Yom Akra bo v'lo b'mi'ilah. Again, they use the same meal to bo to exclude mi'ilah because it's not similar. Again. Mita, we exclude it. Now, when the Chamim say bo comes to exclude, they're m'ayited from the mita, but they're not m'ayited from the azhara. They still say there's a lav here that they learn out. They learn out the gzer shava to learn out a lav, a restriction against an isur, against doing that from Truma, but we don't learn out the punishment from Truma, because the word says bo, and not mita abidei shemayim. So this works. The explanation that Rashi is giving works for everything, except for bal mum. I mean that everything else that we discussed were issues of Tum'ah. Issues of Tum'ah match up with the problem by Truma. So over here, the case of Baal Mum and the case of Mezid Bimilo, those aren't cases of Tum'ah, so they're excluded from comparing to Truma. Problem is, Tosus points out, is what about the case of Tevel? We also compare Tevel to Truma. So over here, Tosus says, Tevel, afgad lab psul Tum'ahu, domi li Truma tfe mehani. Alright, let's go. At least Tevel is something that doesn't have Truma that's removed from it. So it makes more sense to include Tevel and exclude these items. Tevel is a closer relative to Truma than a Baal Mum and Hezid bin Mi'ila is. Because Tevel is something that doesn't have Truma that has been taken off of it yet. Alright, so based on that, we have all the other items that we compare to Truma, and the Chamim by these two items say Bo and come to exclude it from the Dinah of Truma of Mita B'Dei B'Shemayim. Say Zar Shishimesh B'Migdash. So what is the story by Azar Shishimesh Mikdash? Tani Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Nemar Kan, Vazar Karev, Yumat. Right, that Azar who gets close to do the Avodah will die. But Nemar Lahalan, Kola Karev, Akarev, Umishkan Hashem, Yamut. And there it says, by Korach, Vadato. The people are complaining that anybody who gets close to the Mishkan Hashem is going to die. So Malahalan, how did the people by Adar Korach die? They died, Mina Ish, that came down from the Shemayim and swallowed them up, the 250 people. So Malahalan, Bidei Shemayim, Afkan Bidei Shemayim. So that's how I know. The Machlokas here, Zar, that Shishimesh Migdash, whether it's a din in, my Machlokas we had in the mission, whether it's a din in Mita Bidei Shemayim, or Rabbi Akiva says it's v'chenek. So the Chamim's position is explained by the fact that we compare it, Azar Karev here, Yumat, to the Zara Karev, Kol HaKarev HaKarev, El Mishkan Hashem, Yamut. Right, so over there, it's talking about Mita Debei Shemayim. So obviously over here, it's also talking about Mita Debei Shemayim. Rakiva Omer, who never disagrees, never can by Zara Karev Yumat. Never lahalan v'anaviyahu, o acholei machalomahu, Yumat. Ma lahalan b'skila, avkan b'skila. So here's a Gzeir Shava of sorts that comes together. Azara Karev Yumat, and then where do we have Navi Ahu Chalemahu Hayu Yumat. So just like by a Navi, Yumat means Skila. So over here, Yumat will mean Skila. So then Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri Omer Mal Halan Bechenek Avkan Bechenek. Just like over there, it's Bechenek Avkan Bechenek. So now we have a three-way machlokas about what the din is for Azar Shishimesh. Chamim say Mita de Eshemayim, Rabbi Kiva says Skila, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri is not mentioned in the Mishnah, says Chenek. So where does Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri's position come from? B'maika Miflegei, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. Right, so what does Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva argue about? Rabbi Kiva says, Danim Yumat mi Yumat. Well, then add Yumat of the Navish to the Yumat of Azar HaKarev. Ben Dan Yumat mi Yumot. right? Because that's we don't die now. By the case of a cholak garev, garev mishkan shkem yamut, right? So over there, we don't want to learn out the two words are different. Yumat from yamut is not a good limut. Rabbi Shmuel Sabar done in hejod mehejod. Makes more sense to learn out a lay person from a lay person. The ada korach we're dealing with lay people. Over here we're dealing with a lay person. But in done in hejod me navi. We're not going to learn out a hejod from the din of a navi. So Rabbi Akiva kevin she diach. This is a Navi who told others to go worship Avodah Zarah. He's causing others to do sins or to be morayed against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's not called, he's not a Navi anymore. He's a Hejot. He's lost. He's been stripped of his status as a Navi because of what he's doing. Therefore, he's no longer classified as a Navi. He's a Hejot. What's the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? But plukto the Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon. They have the same machlokus as Rabbi Shimon Rabbanon. The Tanya, Navi sheediach b'skila, a Navi who causes others to worship Avodah Zarah, go off the path of the Torah, he gets the din of skila. Rabbi Shimon Omer bechenek. Rabbi Shimon says he gets chenek. Hanansnan. We have another mission that says Rabbi Kiva Omer bechenek. Kiva says chenek, which sounds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So when it says trei tnai v'alibed Rabbi Kiva, we have two tnaim who are going according to Rabbi Akiva. So first of all, Rabbi Shimon, who we know is the Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbanon and the Braisa are also Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So that's what it means over here. So now, Matnitin, our Mishnah, is Rabbi Shimon only with Rabbi Akiva? Is Rabbi Shimon according to Rabbi Akiva? The Braita, when it comes to the Braita, it's Rabbanon, but Libid Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbanon are going according to Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, each one of them goes according to Rabbi Akiva, whether it's the Skila or the Chenek. And that will explain the different opinions of Rabbi Akiva, because we found Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah who says Skila. And then we have Rabbi Shimon over here who says Chenek, based on that, what we said before, that Rabbi Akiva says Tan, Rabbi Akiva mer b'chenek. So since we have another Mishnah that says b'chenek, that b'chenek is following the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Shimon alibid to Rabbi Akiva. And our Mishnah that says skila is following the position of Rabbi Akiva, alibid the Rabbanan alibid to Rabbi Akiva, say that it's skila. Okay, that's the end of the perek. We're going to begin the new perek now, which is Elohein Hanech Nakim. So we're following the mitod bezin according to the Chachamim, so the lowest. On the rung of ladder of the severity of punishments that you can get of mitot bidei bideizdin, of the four is chenek. So we went through, we did all of them so far. We did skila, sreifa, hereg, and now we're up to chenek. So Elohein ha nechnakim. These are those that get chenek. So these are, happens to be that this perek might be in the Mishnayot, might be out of order, in that Perek HaChelek in the Mishnayot goes first because of the connection to the previous Perek, which is the 11th Perek, and then this 10th Perek is actually the 11th Perek. Like in the Yishalmi and the Mishnayot, it's reversed. Here in the Gemara and the Bavli, it's the other way around because Perek HaChelek has all so much agadita to it, so therefore they put it as the last Perek and moved up Elohein HaNechnakim to here. Alright, so Elohein HaNechnakim, Amakia Avivimo, someone who hits his parents, Begonev Nefesh Misrael, a kidnapper, Zakein Mamrei Api Beidin, someone is Zakein who refuses to accept the authority of the Beizdin Agadol, Benavi Asheker, Bamit Nabe B'Shem Avodat Chachamim, someone that gives a nevuah in the name of Avodah Zarah, Vabal Eishet Ish, and someone who has adultery, Vizomamei Bat Kohen, right, the Edim Zomamim and the Boel of a Bat Kohen, assuming that she's not an Arusa. If she's an Arusa, there's a din of Skila. Right, the question is only if she is a nisua, and if she gets sreifa as a nisua, which we saw was subject to machlokas, but if she gets sreifa as a nisua, then the bo'ala, the one who sleeps with her or perpetrates the crime with her, he gets to punishment of chenek, because she's the only one subject to sreifa, not her bo'el, and not her edim zomimim. The edim zomimim also subject to chenek, which is the regular punishment for a eshet ish. Okay, Ma'ke Aviv Vimo Minolan. How do we know that Ma'ke Aviv Vimo? Where do we know this? From Dichtiv. Ma'ke Aviv Vimo Mot Yumat. In Parsha Mishpatim. It says, a parent hit your parents, you die. Chomitam Murabat Torah Stam Ein Elech Chenek. According to the Chachamim, Stam Mitan the Torah is Chenek. So Mar says, Eim Adukatu Le Mikto. So it says, Ma'ke Aviv Vimo. You would think that when you have to actually kill them. Mot Yumat. I mean, that Ma'ke Aviv Vimo implies that you hit them so much or so long that they died. And that's when you get chenek. But if they didn't die, maybe not. So, Sakta Datcho Koto Chad, right, Koto Chad Besayif Aviv Bechenek. So what do you mean? Someone, you kill a regular person, you're a rotzeach, you get saif. You kill, someone kills a parent, they get chenek. Says, how does that make sense? That doesn't make any sense. Saif is a higher form of punishment. So if you kill a third party, you get saif. Person kills their own parents, chenek. You get a lower form of punishment. How could that be? It's a reverse logic. So that explanation works well. According to one says it's chenek's the lowest form. So that question tells you don't learn the pasuk that way because it brings you to a impossibility. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says chenek's more chamur, it actually works out nicely. Person kills a third party, gets saif. Person kills their parents, they get chenek. That's a higher form of punishment. Makes a lot of sense. So, and it says in Parashat Maaseh, O be'evai ka'u bi'adov bi'yamot. And so now he hits him. Shema minah. Kohecha di'ika haka'a stam lav mitahu. Because here we see that it says by the case in Maaseh, O be'evai ka'u bi'adov bi'yamot. Right? So if he hit him with intent, bi'adov bi'yamot, and then he dies. So the underlying assumption is that when you hit, or normal haka is not death. Because otherwise, why does the Torah have to say v'yamot, and that he died? Right? He wouldn't have to tell you he died if, when you say makan, the Torah means to hit, to kill, right? And the person dies. Over here, it's telling you that he hit him, and then he died. So that tells you that hitting is not necessarily death. So based on that, so therefore, makan avi v'yamo means hitting even without the causing death. So this is actually subject to a machlokas. The gears that we have here is we have to write makei ish, which is the pasuk we just quoted from Mishpatim, makei ish v'meit motumat, and v'yitzrach mechtav kol makei nefesh. Kol makei nefesh is found in Parshat Masei. Tosfos disagrees. If you look up in top, the Tosfos there, he says, Hachi yasina, v'yitzrach mechtav makei ish u'meit, v'yitzrach mechtav ish ki yake kol nefesh. That he quotes in the other pasuk is ish ki yake kol nefesh. He does not quote the pasuk that we're quoting here that the Argmar has from Maaseh. They come out. It will come out with the same conclusion. But just that no, the Tosaf thinks that the pasuk is velo kamosh katu besvareim kol makei nefesh. That's the wrong pasuk. Because now ika davra manog makei ish. Had the Torah just written makei ish in mishpatim umeit havamina ish the bar mitzvah in katan lo. Only someone who is a ish, who is a man, right, who is a bar mitzvah, gadol, could be your chaya for, but a katan, no. And there are some sfarim that have a girsha and ishalo, right, that even a woman not. So, kata rachmana, komake nefesh, doesn't matter. Anybody who is killed, nefesh means anybody, it doesn't have to be an ish. Vikata rachmana, komake nefesh, had it just, so why not just write komake nefesh? Then have a minafilu nefelim. Afilu ben shmona. Then I would think someone who is a nefel or a ben shmona. So a ben shmona, right, who was born at the 8th month, which Chazal considered to be as if he was born dead. Or a nefel, some sort of issue with the child that ensures, or the probability is that he will pass away, he's not going to survive. Meaning that ben tisha, Rashi calls Barosho Atum, Shle Shnei Gavin, he has some sort of trefot or abnormalities that make it that he's not going to survive. And therefore, he's called a nefel. So how do you know in that case, maybe you should be chayv also? They're nefesh. So why don't we call that? So tzrichah, so the Torah pasuk says, makeh ish. So it has to be an ish. Ish comes to teach you. It has to be a full-fledged person, not a nefel, not a ben shmona, a real person who's going to survive and live. But the makeh nefesh shows you not ish as opposed to katan, not ish as opposed to isha. So when it says, okay, now next question. So with the first question we asked on it, maybe one would have to kill their parents in order to be chayav. So when I rejected that, because it says, makeh aviv imo, makeh means even without killing. So now they ask another question. Who says that you have to make a chabura? Maybe hitting the parents is sufficient, even though there's no chabura that is created over here. Allah matnan. Why do we have a mishnah? Makeh aviv imo, enu chayav et shaseh ben chabura. Mishnah says explicitly that a person's not chayav until they make a chabura. They have to have some sort of blood that is let in here, whether it's bruising, you know, or whether it's actually a physical cut. Either one of those is the letting of blood, but you require at least that. So ma'akra, makeh adam u makeh behema. In Parshat Emor, once again, at the end of Parshat Emor, we have a pasuk which is makeh adam u makeh behema. Ma makeh behema ad avid ba chabura. Just like behema, until you do a chabura, dechti ba nefesh. because it says Makeh Nefesh Makeh Nefesh Behema Yishel Mena Av Makeh Adam Ad Avil Chabura. So too by the Adam, it's until he does a Chabura, because the Makeh Nefesh by the Behema, who comes to teach you, must be some sort of damage that is, you know, blood or chabura, that involves some sort of chabura. So too, because nefesh refers to dam, right? Dam hua nefesh. So makeh nefesh behema tells you that there was some sort of dam that was let in the behema. So since there's a hekesh in the pasuk in Emor, at the end of Emor, which says makeh and behema, makeh dam, which are found in the same pasuk, so teach you that just like by makeh nefesh of a behema, there's a requirement or there will be chabura, and so too by makeh adam, there also is chabura. Where's the only case where we need chabura? I mean, makeh adam is a generic term. It doesn't say about aviv. But the only case where it's really relevant is by aviv. Because makeh adam, right, where there's a chiyuv mita, that is a case where a person would hit their parents. But not in a case where stam, somebody does a chabala, over there we're not talking about there should be no death penalty. Right, so now, according to you, if he loaded it up with stones, meaning that he would take the behema and he weakened the behema by overloading it, piled stones on this animal, made it walk around, and he weakened the animal by doing that, then he won't be chayav, because you have a requirement of chabura. So Mar says, no. Okay, so we won't do that. So Mar says, that doesn't make sense. If you cause damage means anything. If you weaken your friend's animal, you've done damage to the animal. Why shouldn't you have to pay in that case? So it must be that when it says, Makeh Nefesh Behema Yishel Mena, that word Nefesh is not necessary for Behema. Because Behema doesn't need the word Nefesh, because any type of damage to Behema, you'll be Chayav for. So Me'inu Inyan Behema, the Nefesh there, Tzneu, the Nefesh Adam. So now, Me'inu Inyan, the Nefesh Behema, Dhaim Nami Chisha Behema Chayav, Tzneu, Inyan, the Nefesh Adam. So then, if that's the case, you still have the word nefesh, you actually have the hekesh between behema and adam. What do we do? We don't need the hekesh anymore. We use the word nefesh from behema. So ela hekesh lamali. So what do you do with the hekesh? The tanya de bechizkia. We need that for tanya de bechizkia, which we saw earlier on ayin tet, which is the tanya de bechizkia makes a comparison between behema and adam. Just like by behema, you're always chayav mamon. So too by adam, you're always patur from mamon. So over there we learned a number of items. One of them is that mita shogegim are patur from mamon. Over there, Tana Bechizkia also learns if a person that is intends for one and ends up killing another, that there is no chiyuv mita and there's also no chiyuv mamon. He's against the chachamim and Rabbi over there. Rabbi says there's a chiyuv mamon. Chachamim says a chiyuv mita. Tana Bechizkia says there's no chiyuv mamon. And the last one is about derech aliyah v'derech yirida by shogeg. So Tana Bechizkia uses the hekesh to teach us something about. Just like in a behemah is chayav mamon in all cases, no matter what, any damage that's done, you gotta pay. So too by an adam, who's patur from mamon, is patur in all types of cases. So that's what the Tana Bechizkia that we learned before. So Mar says, Hanicha Alaman de Itlay, Tana Bechizkia. That makes sense according to one who thinks Tana Bechizkia is right. Alaman de Leitlay, Tana Bechizkia. Someone doesn't hold the Tana Bechizkia, Ekeshul Elamali. What do you need Ekesh for? So Ma Make Behemah Lerufua Patur, Af Make Adam Lerufua Patur. That Ekesh comes to teach us a very important din here, which is that just like by Behemah, it's permissible to hit or to do damage to Behemah for its benefit, meaning that if you're a doctor or a vet is working on a behema and he has to cause a wound in order to benefit the behema, that is mutar when it comes to a behema. So too by an adam, it's permissible to create a chavala in order to do refuah. Now again, the adam that we're talking about here, when is it a problem for adam to have a chavala? That's by the parent. So this is coming to permit the performing medical treatment on the parent. So now the Gemara says, "Di bailahu." We had a question. Ben maush yakiz dam laviv. What is the din? Can a son be do bloodletting for the father? So now we have three Amoraim that speak up. This is subject to a major machloket ha rishonim, which ends up having major implications la halacha. One is Rav Matna Amar v'haftal reicha kamocha. It says v'haftal reicha kamocha, and as Rashi explains over here, those who is haruli Yisrael lasod lechavriyem el davar sheinu chayfetz lasod latzmo. You're only restricted from doing something that you wouldn't want to do yourself. That's the way we interpret the sani lach, right? Lo tasel lechavrech. What you hate, don't do to your friend. So it's a negative formulation of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. If you wouldn't do it for yourself, you wouldn't do this yourself, don't do it someone else. But if you would do it for yourself, you can do it for someone else. So that's the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Rav Dimi, Bachinin Amar, Makeh Adam, Umakeh Be'ima. He has that case. Ma Makeh Be'ima L'Rufa Patur, Af Makeh Adam L'Rufa Patur. So Rav Dimi says that it's a din in the Hekesh from Behema, so any refuah is allowed. And since the Mekiz Dam, letting the blood, is for refuah purposes, therefore it is permissible. So we're going to see that there are, there's now one more opinion. And the question is, how do we read these opinions? Rav, Lo Shavik Lebre, the Mishkal Silu. Rav would not permit his child to bloodlet for him. Mar Brei de Ravina, Lo Shavik Lebre, the Miftach Le Kvato. And Ravina would not let his son open up a lesion or a burn in order to drain it. Demo chavil, because maybe you're called a chabala. Vavilei shigigat isur. And even though it's not intentional, it's only bishkogeg, but it'll be shogeg with an isur. Or says yachi acher nami. So what about the third party? Even if the third party is doing it, they do too much. Or they cut him, they're doing chabala ba'adam. That's not for the purpose of rufua. That's also impermissible. So I says, what's the difference between them? That when it comes to acher shigat lav, a problem with the third party, if he does a chabalah, then he is over the lav. What's the lav? The lav is lo tosif. You're not lo tosif lehakoto. You're not allowed, if you give lashes to someone, you're not allowed to extend or do more than he deserves in terms of lashes. There's a restriction against doing more than necessary. So it's all over here. There's a lav against doing more than it's needed for the medical treatment. So therefore, by accident, he does more, you're chayav, but it'll only be a lav. Lav lo tosif. When it comes to a child, that's not true. Maybe a child, it's shigigat chenek. If he makes a mistake and he does more than necessary, a child that does a chavala to the parent is a chiyuv chenek. It's a chiyuv misa. It's a chiyuv misa, chiyuv mitad beizdin. So therefore, when it comes to a regular person, we say, don't worry about it, it's just shigigat lav. Even if he makes a mistake, it's only a lav. Whereas over here, when it's the son, if we don't let the son do it because if he makes a mistake, then it's a chiyomita bidei adam, shigigat isur, and it's a much more stringent or high level of isur, so we're not going to let him do it. Vatnan. I'm going to come back and discuss all of this. Vatnan. Machat shal yad li tol ba'at hakot. In the Mishnah and Shabbos, it says that you're allowed to pick up a small needle in order to remove a splinter on Shabbos. So, lichosh dil machabil. Wait, why don't we worry on Shabbos that when you go to take out the splinter, maybe you'll poke a hole and cause it to bleed? If you do that, then you're chovel b'shabes. Chovel b'shabes, we're talking about a shigigat skila. It's an accident that would have, if you did it b'mezi, we'd get a din skila. It's even more chamor than aviv. So why don't we say it? So it says, hatam mekalkel hu. Over there by Shabbos, by there you're being mekalkel. You're ruining. And mekalkel by Shabbos is patur. So that's what you see Rashi, mekalkel hu. V'chol mekalkel b'turim b'chilu Shabbat. T'melechet machshevet k'tiv. You need the melacha to be intentional. You have to, you know, it has to be carried out in the way that you want it, and has to, the end results have to be what you want.
Because so, you want the opening here, you don't care about the opening.
No, you just want the splinter out. You don't want the chavala. Even if you get it out, you don't want to cause yourself any injury. If you could do without an injury, you'd be more than happy to do without an injury. Right, so then Rabbi Shimon is the only one who is mechayev by mekalkel. Mechavkel b'chabura, Rabbi Shimon nami lo mechayev al mitkavein. Only if you have intent. Chachavi tzarech lachabala. Because then it's... I'm just reading Rashi over here. That the reason is that even the person who says that mekalkel yechayev, you still require intent, but mitkavein. And over here it's clear that you're not mitkavein for the chabala, because you don't intend to poke a hole. So Mar says, Hanicha Laman Damar Mekalkel Patur. That goes well according to one that says Mekalkel Patur. Laman Damar Chayav Maika Lameimar. According to one that says that Mekalkel is Chayav, what are you going to say? So Man Shmaile Damar Mekalkel Bechabura Chayav. Who's the one that tells us that a Mekalkel Bechabura is Chayav? Rabbi Shimoni. That's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon's Meshita is Amar Kol Melacha She'en Tzricha LeGufa Patur Aleha. Any Melacha She'en Tzricha LeGufa. Melacha She'en Tzricha is a Melacha that you don't need. You're doing a malacha, but you're not doing it for the purpose that it was set out in the Mishkan. So over here, it's malacha she'en tzricha legufa, because here you're opening up a petach, you're doing chabalah. You're doing some sort of letting of blood, but it's not for the purpose of getting the blood out. It's not for the purpose of creating a petach. Your only purpose is to get the coats out. So it's a malacha she'en tzricha legufa. The totsa'ot, the results, are not what the malacha is intended for. And therefore, it's Melacha Shein Tzrichah L'Gufa. So Rabbi Shimon, who believes Mekalkel's Chayav, also believes Melacha Shein Tzrichah L'Gufa is Patur. So action B, that there's two massive Tosafot here that are worthwhile to read. They're really Shas issues here. It's Machlokas between Tosas and Rashi, what the source for this Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is by Mekalkelin. Rashi says that it's a source from the Gemara in Shabbos. And Tosos, on the other hand, says no. It has to do with the fact that, according to Rabbi Shimon, the only way that since Rabbi Shimon we know is mechayev mit asik b'chabura, we know from somewhere else he's also mechayev by mekalkel. The nafkamina between Rashi's reason and Tosos's reason is whether you require melacha shein tzricha legufa by a case of Mekalkel. The way Rashi learns, it's Rashi not here, but Rashi in Shabbos, Rashi seems to indicate that Rabbi Shimon thinks any Mekalkel, call it Mekalkel in Pturim, except for a Mekalkel by Mavir and the Mekalkel by Chovel. Mekalkel of Mavir and Chovel going to Rabbi Shimon are Chayav. And Rashi says, well, going to Rabbi Shimon, that means they're Chayav no matter what. Doesn't matter what the situation is, he says you're Chayav. Because anyway, there is no such thing as Mekalkel by Mavir and by Chovel. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, according to Rashi, qualifies it that it has to be a melacha she-tzricha, or even if it's a Mekalkel, it's a melacha she-tzricha legufa, you're chayav. But if it's just stam Mekalkel, then you're not going to be chayav by a Chovel or Mavir. So Tosas over here asks, well, how does Rashi explain Rabbi Shimon here? The Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon is qualifying his statement that Mekalkel b'chavru was chayav by a melacha she-tzricha legufa. So you see, it does make a difference for Rabbi Shimon. Shimon's not a blanket, you're chayav, any kind of Mekalkel. Mekalkel is still qualified by melacha shein tzricha legufa. According to Rashi, Rabbi Shimon says Mekalkel is chayav all the way through, no matter what. So you see in the Rashi that we read before, the Rashi talks about mitkaven. He has to be mitkaven for a kabbalah. That not that melacha shein tzricha legufa over here is a classic case of melacha shein tzricha legufa, but he compares it more to a davar sheino mitkaven. Since the davar sheino mitkaven, that's why you're a patur over here. But otherwise, even if it was a melacha shein tzricha legufa, Rabbi Shimon would say that you are, if it was real melacha shein tzricha legufa, Rabbi Shimon would say you're chayav because it's a all mekalkelin by chovel umavir are chayav. There's another tosis over here. It's at the bottom of the second tosis over here. The had that's reading hachal kotz v'silu. Why do we restrict kotz v'silu? Mishum dechayshina kshematchil asir. That when he starts to take out the item, shemi tapech, maybe it'll flip over to lo sagi, because it's not easy. Lo avi psik reshe, lo yaniach. And it's almost a psik reshe, and he won't leave it, b'shvil kach. Aval shara dvar shenu mitkaven, delo psik reshe, hu shari. So the Tosla says that maybe the case over here, why, by any other case of dvar shenu mitkaven, we say that you are patur. So all of a sudden over here, dvar shenu mitkaven, and you are chayav. So what's so unique about taking out a splinter that dvar shenu mitkaven is chayav? So Tosla says that maybe over here it's very karov the psik reshe. It's a very, very close to case to psik reshe, since it's very likely that you might end up with a psik reshe. By almost by definition, it's hard to get a splinter out, so almost you will almost definitely do a chabura. Because of that, you won't stop, and if he continues to do it, we're worried about it. So over there we say don't do it. But normally, davar sheino mitkaven, we don't expect the person to get into a psik reshe case. And it's interesting that Tosfos over here who mentions it, and Tosfos in Shabbos as well, I think on I think it's Mem Dalet or Nun Aleph. Also, Tosfos over there, it says a similar type, similar thing that that psik reshe de lo nechle, which is what the case here, psik reshe that you don't want, is considered melacha shein tzricha legufa, which is exactly what they call it over here. They call it melacha shein tzricha legufa, even though maybe it's a psik reshe de lo nechle. Right? Those are two very, very important Tosfotim. I recommend highly that you read them. The last subject I wanted to deal with is dealing with parent, chabura with a parent. A chabura by a parent, what's the din over here? I told you we had three Amoraim that discussed it over here. So the three Amoraim that discussed it over here say, one says the source is v'aftel reichel kamocha, one says that the source is make behema versus make adam, and the last says that he wouldn't let his child do it. Those are the three Amoraim. So in the Mincha d'Yitzchak, Neshut Mincha d'Yitzchak, he says, Zechor yesh nafkamina ben atamim. There's a nafkamina between these three reasons. Not only is it mutar, it's a mitzvah to take care of your parents. It's v'avtal reichel kamocha. Not the way Rashi points out. The way Rashi learns that it's the negative formulation. Don't do to your father what you wouldn't do to yourself. So that's just a permission to do it. But the way you normally would read v'avtal reichel kamocha means that actively, it's a mitzvah to take care of your father. And that sounds like the Ramban and the Muke Yosef. Rav Dimi says patur umutar. It's patur and mutar, not a mitzvah, patur and mutar, because he says makeh behema, makeh adam, he makes the hekesh, just like by behema, it's mutar. So to by the father, it's mutar. Ula Rav, umari b'rei d'rabino, af isura ikka. According to them, it's an isur. You can't do it. They didn't let their children take blood from them. They didn't let their children do something, you know, let out the pus from the burn. Or let out the liquid from the burn. So you see over there that they think there's an isur. So what's halacha? So it's interesting. I'll quote you the Rambam and contrast that to the Rif, and you'll see there's a big difference between them. The Rambam says, "Mekiz dam lavi b'sheru fev chatak lo basar eiver patur." Right? It's patur. Afal pishu patur lechatchila lo yaseh. All these items you shouldn't do because the chatchila you shouldn't do them. So what is Rambam's reading? Rambam's reading that the last Amoraim are taking the first, but just being machmir. And then he says this: there's someone else there to do it. If there's no one else to do besides the son, he takes care of them, kifishi yashayola, so whatever they tell him to do, he does. So what do you see for the Rambam? The Rambam, where did he get this thing about, if there's someone else there, you shouldn't do it, but if there's nobody else, you do it? It's not mentioned in the Gemara anywhere. Where did Tosfos get it? Tosfos get it because he believes that there really aren't three opinions here. There are two opinions, which both say mutar. One opinion may argue whether it's a mitzvah, or whether it means mutar, or only by refuah. Maybe things like, for instance, there may be a nafkamina, which I thought of, which is plastic surgery. According to the one who says it's for only refuah is the heter, that you wouldn't have a heter. If you say v'hafta rechel kamocha, maybe there's a heter even for plastic surgery. Because just like you would want the plastic surgery, so too, you'd want it for your parent. So it might depend on the limud. But based on that, everybody agrees that it's mutar to take care of the parent. Ah, what about the two moraim, Rav and Mar Debrei Avinu, who didn't let their children do it? They didn't let them do it. Why? Because there was someone else there to do it. But Mi'ikar Din, they agree that it's mutar. It's just when there's someone else there to do it, better to have the other person do it. Why? Because by the child, there's a problem with shigat isur. If they do too much, they do a little extra cut, there's a shigat isur. Not that it's not mutar to do it, it's mutar to do it. Just, they can't, they don't want to take the risk. So if there's someone else there, they have someone else do it. If there's nobody else there, they believe in the mutar. Now listen to the Rif. The Rif sounds different than Rambam, and the Beit Yosef points out the difference, which is, Ibailu, ben ma'ush yakiz dam la'aviv. Can a child be making his way? Asikna rab papa lo shavik le debrei the mishkal silub. Mar b'devina lo shavik debrei the mifta kavata. My time lo dim lechavil v'havil leishkiyat isur. What does the Rif quote? He quotes the question of the Gemara and he only quotes the two amoraim at the end. He skips the first two amoraim. What do you hear from the Rif? The Rif believes that they're a third opinion. It's a different opinion, and he paskins like them. No go. No way. There is no exception to the rule. He does not have this exception if there's nobody there. He doesn't have the exception if nobody's there that you can do it. The Rif says, out and out, no. So the Beit Yosef says that's the difference. He says that Rambam believes that the last Amoraim Rav and Mar Brei Avinu are just qualifying the first two Amoraim. They believe in the Heter. They just said when there's someone else there, better to use someone else. Whereas the Rif believes that they're arguing on the first two Amoraim and they say, no go. You can't have a child work the father. And it turns out that the Tur paskins like the Rambam and has the qualification, whereas the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rif. The Bach takes issue with the Beit Yosef's explanation only because the Bach says that the Rosh holds like the Rif. So why would the Tur give up his father's opinion, the Rosh, and go like the Rambam? So he questions the Beis Yosef's chiluk, but you have a big bat. Now you have this chiluk in the Beis Yosef, which is machlokas rishonim between the Rif and the Rambam, as to whether a child can treat a parent. According to Rif, child cannot treat a parent whatsoever, zero, because there's an out and out isur according to him. Right? The Rambam says if there's no one else to do it, the child can do it. If there's someone else, we prefer the other person does it. I'll just read you one shoot. There are a number of shutim. I'll send them out to you. It's unbelievable. It's a shoot Benjamin. Listen to this question that was sent to him. He says, "Shela zu nishalav b'michtav iti Israelit italkit hanikra koririro omerutz." I got this from a messenger in Italy. Shachu mitam eretz Hodu. They sent from India. Ish echad Israeli shnitchayev mital machut. He's now going to be put to death by the government. V'nigdar medino lemital leyom no ad. Rachmana letzan. He's on death row. They have a specific day where they're going to execute him. Ulamai de beni beni, some will tell me mishmark and no da. They put him into jail until that point in time. Vayishahu b'choshvot yom mar, asher tilo b'achronon, when he thought about this day when he's going to be put to death, yom asher yitzua lehareg b'hamon rishayim. There'll be tons of rishayim around, rabim v'yu chilul Hashem b'davar, huge chilul Hashem, agam b'zayon l'chol Yisrael. Bichlal, be a big bizayon to all the Jews that are there, the chol mishpachto b'frat, and his family in particular. Tzivali b'no, she asked his son, she avilo sam hamavet, to bring him poison. Lechol, v'yamot mitatat atzmo, and he'll commit suicide. V'lo yisigenu oto klima b'yomahu, and he won't have that embarrassment on that day. V'shal sholim mutar l'ben l'shmol aviv, l'grom lo mita yado alo. Can a child do this? So this Shud Benyamin goes through. He says, first of all, even with that, it's not a son. Let's ask the question if a third party could do this. Right? That's number one. And then, once you've determined if a third party could do this, can you then have a son do this? So this Shud Benyamin, he's very, I would say, makil in all these cases. He really, he goes through each of the cases. He says, first of all, of course, a third party could do this. Because over here, where he's commanding the person to bring them some of it, this person's only a grumma. Right? It's only a grumma, it's not a problem of nifer, iver lo tite mechshol. So since it's only a grumma alma, and he hands it to him, and gir delay, meaning his arrows have stopped, once he hands it to him, he doesn't kill the individual, he only hands the poison to him. The other individual drinks the poison, he has to make the determination to drink the poison. So based on that, it's not him that's killing him. So he thinks it's not a problem of killing, because it's not, it's grumma. It's not a problem of lifnei iver, because again, he could, supposedly he could get it from, or possibly he could kill himself in other ways, he could get the poison from some other ways. And otherwise someone else could give him the poison. It's not a problem of poison. Now, it says, lechzor leikar shelateinu, about a child. So can he do this? So he says, first of all, if he passed him some of it, it's no question that he could do it. But he says, I want to even ask the question, what happens if he can't get him poison? And is the child allowed to choke his father? Or is the child allowed to kill his father with a sword? I mean, that, and then he brings up our Gemara over here. He brings up our Gemara over here, and he says, oh, over here, the question of a child could do the bidding of a father. So he says, well, it depends. It depends if you hold the Rambam or the Rif. According to the Rif, you can't do it. According to the Rambam, if his father asks and there's nobody else to do it, nobody else is going to do this for this person, the child's the only one who gets access and can do this, then maybe the child should be allowed to do it. And then he says, even according to the Rif, he says even in by the Rif himself, he says, I think the Rif would agree in this case that he's allowed to do it. Because why did the Rif say that you're asur? Or why did these Amoraim say you're asur to do refuah on the parent? Shema, you'll do more than necessary. That's the problem here. Over here, there's no more than necessary. He needs to kill him. There's nothing more than necessary. If he kills him, he did what he asked him to do. There can't be more than killing him. So over here he says, maybe even the Rif would agree, you don't have this chashash of shigiyat isur. So he wants to be matir based on this. He wants to say that the... that's one. And number two, he says, the Rif might have only asserted where the father gets tsar from it. Is it tsar? He says, like any medical treatment. And everybody says, yeah, they want it. But when they get it done, they're always at this. But over here, the father definitely wants it because the other alternative is so bad that he really wants it. He's specifically asking his child to do this to him. So basically, he comes down here, and in the conclusion, he says that if the choice, the best to give him the samam of it, to give him the poison to do it. If you can't give him poison, better to do choking. Over here he has a whole diyun about choking, and that choking is not shofech dam. There's no chabura maybe by choking. He says there's no chabura. First of all, he says maybe there is chabura, and then he asks doctors, and the doctors say there is no chabura, it's just restricting the breathing. And therefore he says that better to choke him than to kill him with a sword. And if you can't do it by choking, you can even kill him by a sword. So that he's allowed to kill him. It's an amazing shut over here. So anyway, it deals with our issue from our Gemara about the Pesach Halacha from our Gemara about whether a child, their mother, many other shutim that deal with this in terms of Brit Milah, son doing Brit Milah for the father, whether you're allowed to give shots or intravenous to a father. All of these are modern day shutim that deal with exactly our case over here. Just one other issue with regards to the father and son issues about whether a son can perform surgery or be involved in anything that would cause a chabura to the father. My brother-in-law actually told me over a story that Rabbi Willig in the Marsha Kolel, that when he played up there and he had his sons up there, that he had always requested his sons be on his team because of this Gemara. He didn't want them to be on the opposing team and have the problem of shigigat isur, that they might be chovel in him by accident, even though it's within the context of the game, that shigigat isur, the Amora Mishnayim here said that you should try to avoid, and therefore he always ensured, or always made sure that his children played on the same team as him, and not on the opposing team. So I'll send them out to you so that you can take a look at them. All right, have a great Shabbos. Bye.